and only the truth be heard. Be seated, please. It's always a pleasure to be given the opportunity to share a few thoughts with you folks. Although I must admit that having had the opportunity to hear all of Father Stephen's homilies and his wonderful way of integrating personal stories into the gospel message, it does make me feel I'm trying to fill shoes that are far bigger than mine. But here goes. As you know, when I'm asked to do a homily, I almost never base my remarks around the readings of the day. I prefer to let them speak for themselves, as each of us needs to hear the message through the lens of our own experiences. Today is New Year's Eve, and this is the time when traditionally people make all kinds of promises to themselves about changes they hope to make in the days ahead. The promises often break into one of two main categories, ones that have to do with our physical health, things like quitting smoking or trying to lose some of the pounds that have crept around our middles. The latter certainly applies to me, as I have put on 7 or 8 pounds since Mary's passing, and it has nothing to do with the quality of her cooking and mine. She was a fantastic cook, healthy food, lots of vegetables, fruit. Me, it's more like bacon, pancakes, spaghetti, meatballs, donuts, anything that comes quick. The only way I can stop the downward spiral is to go out and buy pants that are really snug. I know then that I cannot gain any more weight or I'll have to buy new pants. And we all know how teachers have the reputation of being a little tight with their money. So I use an external prop to motivate myself to hold the line on my weight. The other promises often have to do with repairing some relationship. Perhaps you have a sibling with whom you have not got along with for a long time. Or you make a promise to yourself that you're going to spend more time with your partner. In a sense, these two type of promises quite accurately symbolize a kind of struggle that has been going on since Adam and Eve left the garden. It's a battle of the physical against the spiritual. The physical things can be seen by all and easily measured. Because they can be seen by everyone, we tend to pay a lot more attention to our image than to our substance. In a sense, we give control of ourselves over to the expectations of others. The spiritual parts of ourselves, things like our characters, our values, our attitudes, and our faith, while these are much more difficult to assess, and these are things that often seem to be in conflict with the world around us. The most important relationship of all for Christians is the one we have with God, for it produces the core values we need to improve our relationships with all those with whom we come into contact. We have a generous God, a merciful God, a forgiving God, an accepting God, a kind God, and a God who loves his creation, and that includes all of us. When we let the Holy Spirit be our guide, these are the qualities that will flow through all our actions and relationships. It is perhaps most fortunate that New Year's Eve falls so shortly after Christmas, because it gives everyone the opportunity to base their New Year's resolutions on lessons learned around the Christmas story. What are some of these lessons? According to a Christmas Eve editorial to which Mary's cousin referred me in the Toronto Star, Christmas is so many things. As the Star of Bethlehem portrays, it's a guiding light leading the three wise men from the east. And it can also serve as a metaphor for any of us who would desire to discover wisdom at its very source, Jesus Christ. It's about refugees in need, as Mary and Joseph certainly were as they traveled first to Bethlehem and then were forced to travel to Egypt to escape Herod's intended destruction of this holy babe. Clearly, refugees all through the ages have provided those who encounter them with an opportunity to reflect the person or people God called us to be. It's about the birth of a baby and the making of a family. It's about awe as both the shepherds and the wise men clearly exhibited, and fear, as Herod enters the picture and soon after eliminates all the babies who were the same age as the baby Jesus. For the generations to follow, the story is about faith and the yearning for spiritual renewal. As the editorial goes on to claim, more than anything, Christmas reminds us of the power of story in human experience, the need and genius of men, women, and children for finding meaning and inspiration in stories. Perhaps the reason Christianity has proved to be such a powerful influence in forming Western civilization is because at its root lies a story that at the same time is both simple and yet radical. It's amazing when one comes to think about it that with no YouTube clips recording the nativity, no newspaper reports of the event, and not even an exact date of the birth, so many people have been drawn to this story over the last 2,000 years. The wise men that came later were not scrummed to explain the gifts they brought, as would certainly be the case today. There is a vagueness to the story that demands that all who encountered it do so with the light of their own experiences of events that seem to them transcendent. It's a story which, surrounded by the malls, the presents, the parties, the family gatherings, and the feasts, should cause us to ponder why it has survived intact for over 2,000 years. It's a story where the words of the event would spread only as fast as one set of lips could impart it to another's ears, only as fast as a man or woman could walk or a donkey trot. It was decades before the story was even recorded, and then in several versions. So to most of humanity who have been moved and enriched by it, the birth of Christ came only as a story. It had to be taken on faith alone. Yet somehow, this story spoke so profoundly to men and women, for better or worse, it changed the course of history, made Jesus Christ the most influential figure in the history of Western civilization. It may well be because of the very fact the story traveled across the Middle East and beyond so slowly that the message had time to sink in. Because of today's remarkable technology, there's almost no time for anything to sink in because so many conflicting ideas come at us all at once and are just as quickly replaced by other ones. Over the centuries, the way the event is marked and celebrated has changed and evolved as all things touched by human hands do. So claims by arrogant and ignorant men to have saved Christmas or restored it to any one true form are bogus. There are no fixed or frozen versions of Christmas celebration to return to. They have varied according to their time and their place. What then has remained constant? Only the story. And anyone wishing to honor Christmas as more than a secular cultural ritual, as more than a matter of consumption and indulgence, needs return to it. And it is for the story that so many people return, even those who do not otherwise attend church services. Virtually all we know about Christ, in only a few years of his life at that, is found in the four Gospels of the New Testament. So it seems logical that the true meaning of Christmas must be found there. Perhaps the reason Christianity has proved to be such a powerful influence in shaping Western civilization is because at its root lies a story that is at the same time simple and yet radical, and teachings as clearly set out as they are difficult to master. Fear not in a world which has always been accompanied by war. Judge not in a society where fake news and lies abound. Be generous in a time when people seem more interested in the Dow Jones than in the plight of the homeless and unemployed. Be humble when we see leaders bragging about their accomplishments and greatness, and where most of us spend so much time and money trying to appear successful in terms the world understands. Do not mistake wealth and power for virtue. Above all, treat others as you would want to be treated. The modern Dickens, A Christmas Carol, echoes so many of the themes found in the Gospels about the true meaning of Christmas. And thankfully, so many people who never attend church make it an annual habit to watch this classic story. This in itself reflects a thirst for the messages of Jesus Christ. We live in an age where so many who want to honor Christmas do so in a way that seems to ignore totally the basic teachings that flow from the actual event. The real and lasting strength of Christmas, as C.S. Lewis once stated, is that Christianity is the ultimate second choice. I repeat, Christianity is the ultimate second choice. It's about forgiveness and redemption. We can see this clearly in Christ's dealings with the adulteress, the tax collector, even the thief who hung behind him on the cross. And it will be just as true for you and me. The only people that Christianity has nothing to offer are people who feel they have nothing for which they need to be forgiven or for which they need to repent. So as you and I ponder what needs to change in our lives this New Year's Eve, as Christians, we would be wise to let the Holy Spirit both influence our resolutions and through daily prayer give us the strength to hold to them. I wish for you all a healthy, happy, and spiritually prosperous New Year. The word of the Lord.